Here on the John Krasinski Show, I want to ask John Krasinski why the Timberwolves don't appear to play harder, and it might be a more interesting discussion than that question might indicate. Let's check that out here. Again, this is the John Krasinski Show, part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. Find all the shows at TalkNorth.com. Follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod to see the shows as they are released. Or just subscribe to your favorite podcast app. The subscriptions are free. Thanks to TSR Injury Law, Manscaped, and Profiled by Sanford. So, John, is it just lethargy? Is it just, you know, knowing that the games really don't matter? Or, you know, given that this is a league and a team that is stocked with black athletes, could it even have something to do with what is going on in our country and the fact that every time you turn on any social media, you see a black person being shot, beaten, tased, abused by police? I mean, is it as simple as the Timberwolves just not caring enough to play hard, or is there more to it?
Well, yeah, I mean, I wish, Jim, that I could say definitively that, you know, that their performances in some of these games, including they've been blown out in three of the last four games, they did win against Miami on Friday night, which was a really good win.
Yeah.
I wish I could say that, you know, that they are just being kind of inundated with all of the pressures from outside and that it is taking its toll. And I do not doubt that these guys are playing with an incredible amount of just, you know, weight on their shoulders. I mean, I wrote about it last week at The Athletic, but when they drive in to Target Center, they're driving past boarded up buildings. They're driving past National Guard on every street corner. I mean, they're getting constant reminders of the city that they live in and the kind of the environment that is around them right now that is not hospitable to black athletes. And so that has to be an incredibly difficult burden to carry on your way to work every single day. I just cannot imagine it. So I do think that may have played a role in maybe the Bucks game where they just got housed and there was just nothing there, or the Nets game where they just didn't seem to have much. But unfortunately, what we have seen on the court has been something that has carried over from the very beginning of the year. And this is a team that consistently does not defend the three-point shot. And also more maddeningly, I would say, kind of has this sort of bounce in its step collectively after one victory and doesn't take seriously, you know, the games that keep coming, and they get too much confidence from one win. And so that is a character flaw of this team in general. And Towns, you know, spoke about it on Sunday night. We have heard several players and coaches remark about just this team's inability to stack wins together because they get too, you know, bored with success is the ridiculous term that is used, or other things. And so these are problems that have come, you know, that came in December and January and February and March, and they're coming still in April. And so that's why I just can't, you know, put the outside factors as big of a role front and center on this, because this is the team that we've seen all year long.
And under different coaches as well.
Yes.
It was a problem with Ryan. It's a problem with Finch. And that leads to my next question is, can an NBA coach control effort level, or does it really fall to your star players?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, there can be some little things that a coach can do every once in a while. They can, you know, jump a team in a huddle or in a halftime locker room or in a film session or things like that. But that really, you can only fire that bullet so many times during a season. And so it really does come down a lot to players policing themselves, to players holding themselves accountable and setting the tone. I think Towns is trying to do it. He said on Sunday night that he could sense that a letdown was coming just in the way that they were approaching the game. But if you can sense it, there's got to be a way to try and kind of wake guys up before the game begins and send some of those messages. And maybe that's, Jim, where some of the fatigue is setting in, and maybe from the things that are happening off the court, but also just this has been a really difficult season, and they're 15-43. And so it's kind of like, what do we got going here? But I mean, you look at, you know, D'Angelo Russell is just, you know, he's not that kind of guy. It doesn't appear like so far, or at least we haven't seen that in Minnesota. Carl Anthony Towns has struggled for 6 years to get people to kind of follow him the right way. I think he's making real strides there, but that takes a little time. You know, I think Ricky Rubio, I think, is miserable. And so I think that, you know, kind of trickles down to the rest of the team. And then you have like Edwards and McDaniels are just rookies and they're trying to figure things out. They don't know any better. They're learning on the job. And so that's the real issue, that, you know, that these guys have not been able to summon kind of the sustainable approach night in and night out. And that's why they've gone since the very first two games of the season without consecutive wins, which is just an unfathomable stat in the NBA. No matter what happens in the league, a team will win two or three in a row, or they'll win, you know, four out of five, things like that. It just happens in the length of a schedule, and the Wolves just can't seem to do that. So, yeah, I think they do have to look internally and say, you know, what are we doing wrong from a leadership standpoint, and why is this happening? Because here's the other big thing, Jim. You know, we watch what the Rockets are doing, what Oklahoma City is doing, in Orlando and Detroit. Like, those are teams that are actively tanking, like really trying to dump games night in and night out. The scary thing with the Wolves is that they are not trying to lose. Like, they want to go out and win. They want to try and get some momentum going here. They have all of this happening, and, you know, they're losing, and losing by big margins against good teams. No one expects them to beat the Clippers in Los Angeles, but to be down 38, to not put up any pressure, like, that's the troubling thing about what you've seen with this group.
Yes. And it's also, and as you said, there is that oddness to this season in that, you know, that deep down they don't want to do anything to mess up getting a top three pick. And yet they also feel this urgency to have this group of players start playing well enough together that they have some hope for next year. And that's a weird line to tread.
Yeah, it is. And like, because, I mean, this team has a lot riding on these last 14 games. They're trying to figure out if the core that they have constructed is worth pushing forward into the next seasons. And you know that you've been able to say, well, they haven't had Towns and Russell together, so we got to see how that works. And that's true. So that you really do want to see what's happening there and how that looks. But also, hey, look, you have a new ownership group that is going to be coming in. There are people that are working either as coaches in the front office, like all these things that have to prove themselves to a new group. And even though Glenn Taylor has control over this team for the next couple of years, Alex Rodriguez and Mark Laurie are going to have considerable input into what the decisions are made at a macro level for the leadership of this franchise. And so they have to have things to kind of hang their hats on. And right now, you know, you do get a nice win against Miami. You do get a good performance against Chicago and some other these things. And you see some of the development that is happening with some of these guys. But still, at the end of the day, the most troubling issue, if Alex and Mark really dive in and take a real close look at what they're seeing right now, is this is a team that is not trying to lose games actively, but is still losing them in ugly, ugly fashion. And that's an indictment on everyone involved until it turns around and until they start putting some things together.
Ugh. All right. Some other questions I have about this. I also want to talk a little college basketball and ask more about A-Rod and Mark Lohr coming through. Cheryl Reeve talked about that extensively on the Cheryl Reeve Show on this network, but let's get the NBA perspective on their visit. We do want to thank TSR Injury Law. You've been hearing about TSR Injury Law for a long time now. They're everywhere because they've been so successful. They've been successful because they win cases for their clients. It's that simple. 612 TSR time is all you really need to remember. 612 TSR time. But if you prefer going to a website, you can go to tsrinjurylaw.com. Their redesigned website is very attractive. You can do a free case review. You can check out their testimonials, how they use their practice areas that John and I have seen firsthand, who they are, the results they've gotten, the class actions they've taken on, news about the awards they've won, and easiest ways to contact them. Great website. But again, if you're injured, just remember 612-TSR-TIME, 612-TSR-TIME. We also want to thank our Manscaped for our partnership and for making John blush as he reads these commercials. And of course, I've teased John as he's read these commercials, but let me make it clear. I use the Manscaped product. I use it. I enjoy it. I find it very simple. As Brandon knows, I hate technology, and this is a piece of technology that I find very easy to use, so I do appreciate it.
Right in the same boat with you, Jim. I'm trying to kind of get more comfortable reading these spots, which because they're fun now.
Please don't. And I please also remain that uncomfortable. It's entertaining.
That the product itself is worth using. I mean, absolutely. Flowers are blooming. The grass is growing, and it's time to chop the weeds. Thanks to our sponsor, Manscaped, you can trim your holes safely and efficiently. I'm talking about ball trimmers. Manscaped, the global leader in men's below-the-waist grooming, have an exclusive offer for our audience. Use the promo code ATHLETIC to get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Coming up around the corner, Jim, they're having the Manscaped 4.0. Can't wait to see what that looks like because the 3.0 has been great. It's light. It's easy to use. You can take it in the shower with you. You can use it on the run because it has a super long battery life. The Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Manscaped is making whacking your weeds a time to look forward to delivering maximum confidence while providing hygiene. Speaking of incredible hygiene, Manscaped has formulations to keep you fresh and ready for everything that comes your way all day long. I'm talking about the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. Starting to get warm outside, and this is crucial so your balls stop sticking to your leg. That's the worst. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ATHLETIC at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code ATHLETIC at manscaped.com.
Two more advertising notes. If you'd like to sponsor this program or any of the programs across the network, including my new show, Blocked and Muted with Jim Suhan, and the new Chin Music, which includes Lavelle Neal along with Roy Smalley, you can reach Karen Cleary at K-C-L-E-A-R-Y at TalkNorth.com. And stay to listen if you are interested in losing weight and being healthier. Profile by Sanford has done great work with our colleague Michael Russo, and we'll run an ad for Profile by Sanford at the end of the show. Please check that out if you're interested in that kind of a service. And thanks to all of our sponsors, all of our listeners. So when does Beasley come back?
He might not come back this year, Jim. They said, I think when he first went down, it was 4 to 6 weeks. Hamstrings are very, very tricky. They can take a lot longer to heal up. And one of the big issues with Malik Beasley that he will have to fight as he is rehabbing this is Beasley kind of only knows one speed in his workouts, and it's all out. And so I think that might have been one of the issues that triggered this injury is that he doesn't just work out at the gym when he's with the team. Excuse me. He works out at home. He's up in the early in the morning going. He really pushes his body. Now, that really paid off for him earlier on in the season because he was one of the few Wolves that really showed up to training camp in great shape and was able to play big minutes early on in the season just because he pushes himself so hard. But you can kind of go too far sometimes. And so the way for Malik, he's going to have to really walk the line of doing enough to kind of start to ramp things up for himself and not getting overly excited and then have a setback, because you want to make sure that you go into the off season healthy enough to really have a full off season for him to work on his game and do all the things that he needs to do to keep developing his game. What is he going to provide? Maybe let's say the last 8 games of the season, that would be more important. I don't think it would be. So they're going to be extra cautious with him. He will play if he's healthy, but that was a very severe hamstring strain. And so it would not shock me at all if he's played his last game of the season.
Okay, let's talk about Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lohr coming through. A reminder, we want to thank our longtime producer, Brandon Morton. Also, I do have a new show out, Blocked and Muted with Jim Suhan. It's me running. It's my views on Minnesota sports is the first half of the show. The second half of the show will be a guest. We've already had Derek Falvey and Nafisa Collier on. I'm going to have Lavelle Neal, the newest member of the Talk North family. He'll be on this week's edition. Please check it out at talknorth.com or on your favorite podcast app. So I know that Cheryl said that Alex and Mark were coming through the facility touring. She ended up pulling them into her office and talking about the Lynx. What was it like when they were dealing with the Timberwolves side of the organization?
Yeah, from what I understand, it was a whirlwind. You know, they came in and unfortunately, you know, they came in and I think there was expectation that they were going to be at the game against Brooklyn on Monday night. And there was going to be kind of a little bit of pageantry and a little bit of celebration about this, because make no mistake, everyone is moving forward like this is happening, that the contracts, the things that they have to work out are minor in nature, the things left to resolve, and that this will all be going forward. And so everyone, I think, was both excited to meet them and kind of get in front of them a little bit, and also nervous, of course, because these are new bosses that are coming in. They are going to have a completely different sort of approach than Glenn Taylor did. And so I think there was some nervousness there. But remember, there's also the Dante Wright situation was just coming to the surface. And the game was getting postponed, and so you're going through all of this drama as well. So there was just a ton of stress in the building. From what I understand, you know, they met with the team, they kind of had some just kind of general discussions. It wasn't anything really super in depth. It was just kind of a get to know you sort of a situation. And you know, as we would expect, you know, all the right things were said early on. You know, this is just an introductory meeting. This is a honeymoon period, and people are getting to know each other. We will see as they get into kind of the really rolling up their sleeves and examining what's going right and what's wrong here, how that tenor changes. One thing that I do know is that, you know, there is certainly some nervousness that comes both in the basketball side and the business side when you have new people coming in and they are, you know, from New York, or, you know, Alex is in Miami, they're from out of town. And so there's not a lot of familiarity. I do know that one of kind of Alex's main guys, Reed Bergman, does have familiarity with Ethan Casson, with Ryan Tanke. They've known each other for a long time. So there is, I think, a general sense that there's going to come in. There are some relationships built up already there that could kind of help smooth the process. Maybe on the business side of things, we will see how the basketball side goes. I think that's where kind of Glenn Taylor comes in. And, you know, he has his relationships with the people that he has hired. He believes in them. And so there will be long conversations about where they're going. But I think that it may not be quite as aggressive an overhaul early on while these guys are just getting acclimated and getting up and running, as sometimes happens with new ownership. Now, if they really tank down the stretch here in the last 14 games, you never know. All bets are off. But there is some familiarity between Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lohr and Ethan Casson on the business side. And I think that they will work over the next few weeks and months to get familiarity with the basketball side and then see what kind of decisions happen here. But it sounds like, from what I understand, things went really well with the Lynx. So I think that's a good sign early on here.
And just to clarify, Glenn Taylor is selling to Rodriguez and Lohr. And when does that sale, when do you think that sale actually goes through? And when would you consider, you know, A-Rod and Lohr to be the people making the decisions?
So I think, Jim, we're going to have probably some time in the next few weeks or a month or so, maybe even a little bit longer, as they just go through all of the exhaustive paperwork that comes with a $1.5 billion transaction. We're going to have at some point here, not in the far too distant future, an announcement that an agreement has been reached, that documents have been signed, that this is setting up a succession plan from Glenn Taylor to Mark Lohr and to Alex Rodriguez. And so there will be that kind of official unveiling. We'll probably have, I would imagine there would be a press conference of some sort where they kind of introduce themselves to the local market and kind of set things out. Now, there's two things about this. One is it has to get NBA approval at a Board of Governors meeting, so it won't become quite official until then. And that might even be this later this summer before something like that can happen. But if there is kind of this contract signed and agreements in place, I'm sure that Glenn Taylor will allow Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lowry to kind of ride with the team to get involved, but prior to official approval by the NBA, because Glenn has a lot of sway with the NBA. And so they wouldn't get into the, they wouldn't go this far down the road if they didn't think that Board of Governors approval was going to happen. So they will get rolling in this fairly soon, I believe. Now, technically, the plan is set up so that at the start of the 2023-2024 season is the plan for when Glenn Taylor sort of hands the reins officially over to Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lowry, where he steps down his equity in the Timberwolves, and Lowry and Rodriguez ascend to the general partner role. And so that's the plan for like the specifics of it. But all indications are that Lowry and Rodriguez will be having major say in the organization going forward from when the deal is closed until when they assume control. Now, Glenn Taylor will still have final say and will still be able to really kind of dictate things the way that he wants to, but he wants to make sure that the two guys who are coming in, who are going to take this over eventually, feel invested, feel like they have a voice in it, and have real input. Because the last thing you want to have happen is for them to just inherit the team in 2 years and then kind of feel like they have to start from scratch. They're going to want to be able to put their fingerprints on things so that the transition is a smooth one. And so that's the way I see it. I see it even in the next couple of years before it's officially, you know, their team, they're going to be able to really have influence on decisions so that once they take over all the way, it's everything is in place the way they want it to be in place and they can get rolling with it.
My favorite aspect of this story is that because Glenn is going to make $1.5 billion on a franchise that he paid, what, $70 million for? I can't remember.
$88
million. Yeah. $88 million. I know that means he's going to reimburse the Star Tribune employees who took furloughs last year, right?
Oh, you're definitely getting, yes, there's no question.
We're first in line.
The checks are coming. Absolutely. You earned it. It's definitely going to be trickling down here, I'm sure. There's 100%. So you start spending that money, Jim. Don't even worry about it.
Believe me, it's spent. That is not a problem. That's not the problematic part of it. Let's get a final thought from John. Thank you to everyone who listens to TalkNorth.com. Again, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. Go to the website. Follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod. Thanks again to Brandon. Thanks to John. And reach out to Karen if you'd like to advertise with us. We do appreciate it. Final thought, John.
Yeah, my final thought is just kind of looking at this team and – you know, this is a moment in time where everyone wants to kind of check out on this team. Like they're 15-43. They're at the bottom of the West. What is left to pay attention to? But I really do argue that the last 14 games here are really going to be important for what this team does going into the summer, going into next season. I do think that they need to start showing a little bit more heart, a little bit more toughness, a little bit more consistency to give people in power and the people who are coming into power the feeling that they can build on some momentum going into this offseason. And I don't think they need to win five in a row, but I think you need to start seeing things stacked on top of each other much better than they have been. Better performances night in and night out. Or else, you know, they're going to be open up for more massive changes coming into the offseason. And, you know, the instability is going to continue. And maybe that actually has to happen just given where they're at. But there's a lot weighing on these last 14 games. I will just say that it's not just kind of playing out the string here. things got to be improvement has to be shown and steps have to be made in the right direction, or else all bets are off.
A couple topics I want to get to next week that we didn't get to this week. I would like to get your impressions on Ben Johnson plus Dave Thorson coming back to Minnesota running this program. Also, just whether Anthony Edwards has the right kind of personality to be the guy who might be able to get his teammates to play hard on a daily basis. But we'll save that for next week here at the John Krasinski Show. Thank you for listening, and we will get to those topics next week.
Hey, this is Michael Russo from the Worst Seats in the House podcast. I joined Profile by Sanford last May 1st, and the results have been amazing. I've reached my goal weight, I keep on losing, and most importantly, I feel more energetic, healthier, physically, mentally, and emotionally, and have just so much more confidence because of the way I feel and look. If you're not feeling great or worried about your weight, I urge you to give Profile by Sanford a try. It'll change your life. They've got 6 convenient metro locations in the Twin Cities, so go to profileplan.com for a location nearest you and tell them that Russo sent you.